Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
How are we doing?
Same as always.
That bad, huh?
It's a ship that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs.
Chewie, give me the gun.
Don't move, Lando.
No, wait, I thought you were blind.
It's all right. I can see a lot better.
Don't move.
You tell that slimy piece of worm-ridden filth to get no such pleasure from us. Right?
And welcome to the sixth episode of Rebel Force Alliance, a Han Solo podcast about Star Wars Galaxy of Han Solo's mobile game. I'm your host, Ednar, and I'm joined today by my wonderful co-host, Coleman. How you doing, Coleman?
Well, I feel like Chewbacca right now, but yeah, we're doing pretty good.
So you're the redheaded stepchild to all the Hans?
Pretty much.
So this is, you know, Star Wars Galaxy of Han Solo's podcast, because
right. It's
all Han Solo all the time.
gotta love that Han. He's just everywhere.
Yes. So, all joking aside, obviously, if you're listening to this episode, or you're listening to this show even, you know they just came out with a new character, another Han, that gives us four. We're almost to a full arena team.
We're almost there. I can't wait for the movie to get my fifth.
He's not gonna come out with the movie. He's already dead.
Yeah, but it's his younger days. His younger days.
This is Force Awakens Han. He is.
I know,
just...
but that will complete our Han Solos.
Oh yeah, I keep forgetting about the Solo movie. Yeah, so we're totally gonna get another Han.
Oh yeah, we're about to have that full team come whenever that movie comes out.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it will happen. I think CG has to do this now just to joke with all of us. And make everyone's life completely insane that we have four Han Solos, but two Luke Skywalkers.
Yeah, two Lukes.
Two Lukes.
Two Leias.
Two Chewies. The person who goes hand in hand with Han Solo.
Hey, don't forget about double. Two Leias. We now have two Leias.
Oh, yeah, we have two Leias. But, I mean, honestly, how many Leias can there be?
Princess Leia. Rebel Officer Leia.
I mean, they could do the new Leia.
General Leia.
General Leia.
And then Resistance Leia.
But General Leia is Resistance Leia.
Is it?
No, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. She's General General Leia in the move for Force Awakens.
I thought she got General by, what is it? Return of the Jedi. Anyway,
we're
getting off topic now.
Oh, yeah. We're spiraling. Okay, so, Coleman, how was your week in Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes with all the chaos that has happened?
You know, it's been interesting with territory battles and a few other things that have gone and just with, in general, this game. Just what I've seen, and it's been very interesting to watch all this unfold.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll get into that, all the fun stuff that we've seen unfold, especially with the introduction of the territory battles, when we get to the meat of our episode, because we have some choice opinions about it. I mean, I've basically been going through the same thing as you. You know, we did territory battles. We did good. We ended up at 37 stars.
I think we ended up at 41, if I remember right.
Yeah, I think you guys were, like, top 20, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. I think we were, like, 70th, or as I like to call it, we were in a 50-way tie for 7th place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it sounds better and way cooler. but, you know, it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun.
God bless those generals or whoever is commanding your territory battles right now.
Oh, God. So,
that's a lot of messages.
I've also been farming dark side characters.
Hey, welcome to the dark side, buddy.
To put them on my light side team.
Yeah, that's not good.
Well, I mean, I've been gearing up Thrawn to put on my arena team.
Okay.
I mean, it makes sense because I'm making I'm liking my resistance. Oddly enough, I can't remember if I mentioned this last week, but my resistance team has not been falling, like, at all in Arena. It's like people are scared to attack Resistance with Commander Luke, and that baffles me. Like, I think I stayed, for the first time ever, I stayed the same rank overnight. Didn't move one spot, so.
Yeah, they kind of hit me a little bit, hit me around a little bit. But they also, I was talking with a guy on my Shard chat, and he was like, man, how can I get you to not beat my team? Like, what makes it unbeatable to you? I'm like, good luck.
Be like, if I told you, then I couldn't beat you, and then I'm screwed.
Exactly. I'm like, why would I tell you? Like, I can tell you how to fix your squad. Yeah, absolutely. What? I mean, I'm not going to tell you the secret of beating me.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you want to put in Night Sister? All of them? I want a
Seven Star. Yeah, I can't beat that team. I totally lose that team every time.
A Saj Ventress, she'll just take away all my buffs.
She eats me alive.
And then she'll stun me, and then it's game over. Game over, man. Game over. So we're just going to dive in. We originally planned on just going all out with territory battles for this whole episode. And then they decided... Yeah, they just dropped a random, out of nowhere, you know, two new characters and a content update. So we'll go over the two new characters real quick. We'll start with the veteran Veteran Smuggler Han Solo. So it's Veteran Smuggler Han Solo and Veteran Smuggler Chewbacca. So we finally got our second Chewie. Better way of knowing it is it's Force Awakened Han and Force Awakened Chewie. Both are scoundrel attackers, I believe. I think Chewie is an attacker, not a tank. Yep, they're both attacker scoundrels, only scoundrels, even though I think they should be resistance, but that's a whole different issue. So Veteran Smuggler Han Solo, basic attack, true shot, very simple, deal physical damage with a 50% chance to attack again. If the person's debuffed, it's 100% chance, and then he inflicts stagger for two turns when he does his second attack. Real simple, nothing, you know, out there, pretty basic as far as basic attacks go. And then his only special is... can I try that? Where he uses Chewie's gun or bow. And it's deal physical damage to all enemies, stun the primary target for one turn, with an 80% chance to inflict ability block on all enemies for one turn, on a three-turn cooldown. So, pretty basic. It's kind of like a Boba Fett with a stun on one character, is how I see it.
I mean, I think I'd still really have the two-turn ability block, but that's just me.
Yeah. And then his first of his two uniques is Han has 25% crit chance and 50% health steal. And then when Veteran Smuggler Chewbacca takes damage, Han gains 20% crit damage stacking until he scores a critical hit. And then... when Veteran Smuggler Chewbacca is defeated, Han gains 100% turn meter, his cooldowns are reset, and he takes an additional turn after his next turn. So, pretty interesting synergy there. A lot of health steal. Crazy amount of health steal. And then his other unique is Swindle. It's whenever an enemy gains a buff, Han gains 25% counter chance, stacking until the end of his next turn. And then whenever Han gains a debuff, he gains 50% defense stacking until the end of his next turn. And whenever Han gains any status effect, he gains 50 armor penetration stacking until the end of his next turn. Okay, that was a lot, but basically it's... he gets buffs, he gets a bonus. He gets debuffs, he gets a bonus. He gets any form of a status, he gets another bonus. Chewie takes damage, he gets a bonus. That's basically the gist of it. What do you think of all veteran Han?
You know, that unique Swindle's kind of interesting, but end of the day, I just don't like these kits. They seem very... If you have one, you have to have the other. So if you have Veteran Han Solo, you need Veteran Chewbacca. And... and most arena teams, if you're going for arena, that's not going to work. But I guess as far as territory battles go, I can see this working because they gain a lot of buffs and they give you a lot of debuffs. So I can kind of see them working in territory battles. I just don't know where I'd put them.
I mean, I could see them really working in territory battles. I'll just flat out say it. They're not arena viable. In my mind, they're not arena viable at all. But I think they're good in territory battles together for one reason only. And that is the 50% health steal.
Yes.
So they're going to be able to keep themselves alive a lot longer without a healer.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, there aren't many healers, so they'll basically be able to heal themselves. So, I mean, in all honesty, Raid Han, when he does... Or not Raid Han, Veteran Han, when he does his double tap on his basic, you know, he's got 50% health steal on two attacks right there.
Speaking of Raid Han, I think... Yeah, he lost his... The old man, Han Solo, lost his Shoots First ability.
He what?
Yeah. Transitioning over from Raid Han to Veteran Han. Veteran Han does not have a Shoot First ability.
Where are you seeing this?
Where does it say Veteran Han Solo will have his... We'll have that. I don't see it anywhere. He will not shoot first.
Oh, okay. I thought... All right, I totally misheard you. I thought you meant they took shoot first away from Raid Han. And I was like, oh, hell no. I'm storming CG like now. I just Zed'd him, and I just got him to gear 11. So, okay, yeah.
Congratulations to you.
Okay, so yeah, no, he doesn't have his shoot first. But that's so a different Han. It's a different Han.
I would expect a veteran, you know, to be able to shoot a little faster, maybe.
He's an old man.
True. I expect too much.
You know, and just some of his base stats. I mean, he's got decent speed. He's 145 speed. So, not horrible. Only one Zeta, and it's not even a good one. I don't consider it a truly good one. It's the, on the Swindle... It's gain 50 armor penetration stacking until the end of next turn. So that's the only Zeta that he has. So at least he's not going to be horrible to gear up. And his basic does, you know, 48 to 5300 damage, you know, double that. You know, you're looking at 10k on his basic. Which isn't bad. That's non-crit. So... I mean, he can do some damage, but they even said it themselves. He's essentially a glass cannon.
Yeah, which is kind of what you want him to be with veteran Chewbacca.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, all right, we'll go into Chewbacca, and then we'll talk about how they work together. So,
yep.
You got veteran Chewie, who's also, like I said, a scoundrel attacker. His basic is even simpler. Deal physical damage with an 80% chance to daze for them for two turns. That's it. His one special is deal physical damage to target enemy, dispel all buffs on them, and stun them for one turn, inflict speed down on all enemies for two turns.
Hmm.
Okay, I like that ability. And then his uniques are kind of the exact same as Han, just flipped. So Chewbacca has 25% crit chance, 50% heal. Whenever veteran Han takes damage, Chewie gains...
That's not 50% heal, it's just 50%
health steal. Health steal, sorry. 50% health steal. And then whenever veteran Han takes damage, Chewie gains 20% crit damage stacking until he scores a crit hit. When veteran Han is defeated, Chewie gains 100% turn meter, cooldowns are reset, and takes an additional turn. So it's basically identical to Han's. And then his other unique is at the start of each enemy turn, Chewbacca gains 12% offense stacking until he uses two abilities.
Which is that with that what's that cooldown with Furious Blow?
It doesn't.
Why does
let me why? Let me go on SWGOH real quick.
Yeah, I'm gonna open up my
three turn cooldown.
Okay, they forgot to include that in the pamphlet. Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay,
I was like, wait, what? There's no cooldown?
Yeah, so, I mean, he's got a... His basic doesn't do as much damage, but it's got the better of the two debuffs. The days.
Right, which all that stacking after until he uses two abilities, that's a long time.
Yeah. Now, days, though, in territory battles is huge because those counters on some of those fights is brutal.
Oh, I was going to say those multi-attacks.
Oh, multi-attacks. Yeah, they killed me more than once. So days will be nice in territory battles.
Yeah.
You know, dispel all debuffs and stun them for one turn, which is nice, and inflict speed down on all enemies for two turns. I mean, those are nice, not game-breaking, nothing crazy. It doesn't do a lot of damage.
Yeah, but if you get when you put two of those two or three of those Imperial cleansers in on the opposite territory battle team, it's not going to matter much.
Yeah. Now, we are talking, he is crazy slow. Like, his speed is 102.
Ooh, for an attacker, that's not that good.
It is real bad. But I will say this, he's built to be slow. Like, they want him to be slow because he's an anti-speed team. Because the more the other team goes, the more offense is going to stack. So by the time, let's say, the other team goes twice before he gets to attack, that's what? Let me just see what that would be. So, I mean, you're taking, God, what is that, 120% offense for his next attack?
Yeah, that's around 120, I think 124, possibly higher, just depending on what kind of speed you're looking at.
Yeah, right around there. Let's say the whole team goes twice. Yeah, he's got 120% offense for two abilities then.
Yeah, but not only that, but he keeps that around until he uses those two abilities.
Yeah, so it's actually going to be higher than that. Like, if you're going up against a real fast team, they'll probably honestly go three times.
Yep.
Before you use your second ability. So you're going to get that hit off and you're going to do a shit ton of damage. But
that's a lot.
But you have to live.
That's the issue.
Like,
say, if you're going up against a Darth Nihilus and people see it as a threat, it's just like, okay. Gone before you can do anything.
Yeah. And now I will say this. He does have a good amount of health.
Yeah, but versus that Annihilate, doesn't matter.
True. But, I mean, do they have an Annihilate in territory battles? Because, again, veteran Chewbacca.
Yeah, they do.
Really? Did I just not see it? Or did I just not realize it?
I could be wrong. There's not a lot of Snowtroopers. But the Snowtrooper Ops Elite, if he's stealth and this Chewbacca has less than 70% health, it deals massive damage, which, as we all know, is pretty much to death.
Yeah. Like, but, I mean, as an attacker, he has more health than K2SO.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, he's got the health. Let's see what his protection is. Oh, yeah, his protection's crazy high. Like, he's got more protection than Baze. Or Royal Guard, or Sith Trooper.
Hmm.
Like, he's got almost 40k protection. So he's an attacker built as a tank, as slow as a tank.
So he's a tank with an attacker tag.
Yeah, he's a tank. Veteran like Smuggler Savage, Chewbacca is, almost. Yeah, he's a tank. So
almost like a Savage Press.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, I get it. He's going to be good in territory battles.
Okay.
Not an arena.
Yeah, the other thing is that both these characters unlock at 3-star from an event. I'm not compelled to go out and go grab them to 7 through packs. Just no way.
No. There's no way I'm getting either one of these to 7 stars in the next 6 months, probably.
Nope.
So
I'm not going after them at all.
We will revisit these guys when they come out.
Yep.
When they come out. Now, I will mention one thing about the event. The event was crazy easy. I think I autoed it on both.
I did the same thing. I was in the middle of doing something. I was like, okay, it's out.
But CG dropped the ball. They had the perfect opportunity to have the most epic event, and they didn't do it. And it would have required to unlock these two. You would have had to require Kylo Ren at 7 stars to unlock him fully. And it'd just be one-on-one. Kylo Ren versus Force Awakened Han Solo. And you have to kill your dad to unlock him. Just like the movie.
Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe even a little cutscene like in Hero's Journey.
Yeah, yeah. Could do all that. And then, like, you could just play it off and, like, roll together. Like, he kills Han, and then you hear Chewie roar. And then you have to fight Chewie with Kylo. And then, yeah, drop the ball, CG, but I will forgive you. Because they also made some other changes that I like. So, yep. Do you have anything else about these two or the marquee events?
Not really. I didn't pay too much attention to these guys at the marquee events. I mean, there was a lot of buffs going on from captains, pirates, and all that they were not used to, but I think that's just due to showing off veteran Chewbacca's dispel ability. But, I'm just not very impressed with these characters. I didn't pay much attention to them.
Yeah. Now, okay, so with these two, they did the normal packs, although they did not do the 1999 80 shard pack. They got an even shittier pack. So They have the 1999 pack that gives you 25 shards of each.
Yep.
That's horrible.
You'll get them to 4 stars, but that's about it.
Yeah. I'm like, I'll go ahead and pass on that for $20. And then they have the lotto ones for each one.
Yeah, of course the lottos are always kind of interesting, but I'm not going to waste my time with those.
Nope. So those are the two packs that came with it. And then a couple of other tidbits. Ahsoka Tano, Fulcrum Ahsoka, she's out of the shard shop. That was real quick for her to get out of the shard shop, I thought. But
although I'm not really sad about it because I sat there before opening my 2 million ally point Bronzium packs just to get her the 7-star. I was like, you know what? No.
I'm going to save them. Are you going to save it for Paplu and Wicket?
Oh, please. It would be a miracle if Wicket would go in there, but no.
Okay, fine.
Just no.
Fine.
I am waiting for some awesome dark side character to walk in the shard shop, and I'm going to be like, spam my ally in Bronziums now.
That's going to come out, I don't know, February? March?
I don't know. You never know, because with this new movie, if we have veteran Han Solo and veteran Chewbacca, maybe we'll get some First Order.
Well, yeah, but then it's like 3-4 months after they come out that they're in there.
Yeah, but I'll wait. I've waited this long.
All right. Fair enough. So a couple of other bug fixes. Commander Luke character portrait was updated so you can tell the difference between him and Farm Boy. Yay. They nerfed Death Trooper, which I like. So his grenade no longer increases the ability cooldown of units with special buffs. So you're talking Commander Luke, Boba Fett, Sabine. What are some of the other ones?
Sabine.
Doesn't she get a special buff?
No.
I thought she did.
She inflicts a special debuff.
Oh, that's it. All right. So not Sabine. What are some other ones that have a special buff?
Hera inflicts one. Hermit Yoda.
Yeah, but outside of Team Instinct, no, not even Team Instinct, nobody has
them. No one has them.
I can't think of it, but if they have them, their ability to cool down doesn't go up from it. A couple of other changes that don't really matter. Endurances, for ships, the endurances, Fortune Favors the Bold, will no longer hit through Foresight.
Oh, thank the Lord.
And then we have, we have the Assault Battle Military Might coming up this weekend, which if you have Commander Luke, is going to be even a bigger walk in the park.
Yeah.
So, all right, we will go ahead and we'll leave this patch stuff behind because, yes, we got new characters, but that's the least of our concerns for right now. We are here to talk about the wonderful world of Territory Battles. We got our first ones done. And give me your first initial thoughts, Coleman.
You know, it's very... It's not as time-consuming as I expected it to be. For the generals or whoever's commanding, you know, you have to check in with whoever. It's time-consuming for them. But for you, what's a few more battles you have to do during the day? Or it's not something you have to pay attention to all day long. You do two or three battles, you know, six, eight stages. Shouldn't take you that long with four times speed. And then you deploy. Which all you do is click a few buttons, hit deploy. So it's not that time-consuming. I'm very happy with how less time-consuming than what I expected. The characters... Okay, I get a few. And I'm glad they fixed, or I guess not really fixed, but went back and changed the Rolo and Commander Han requirements. Because initially, I was even a little miffed about this, was that Commander Han Solo and Rolo, in order just to get Rolo's shards, you needed a 7-star Commander Han, Captain Han Solo, and a 7-star Hoth Rebel soldier. Which in Phase 3, 7 stars is like, whoa, who has a 7-star Han Solo already? After 3 days of being released, so I'm glad they knocked those down. We were able to get, I think, 25 shards.
Yeah, I think we got like 22, something like that. So I was happy.
Yeah. I expected maybe a little bit more animation with deploying platoon missions, but I think other than that is maybe that's it.
Okay. So my first initial impressions were I was very happy with it. Like you said, if you're not one of the generals or one of the people that are in charge of organizing this, this is a cakewalk, because all you got to do is follow orders.
Yep, follow orders and just do your battles.
Yep, so phase one, phase two, steamroll. Like, basic guilds can steamroll phase one and two, 3-star it all.
Yeah, I think I woke up and phase one was already 3-star, and I was like, okay, I don't really need to do anything, whatever.
Yeah, phase three is where it doesn't get tricky, but you have to pay closer attention. You don't want to just throw characters in all willy-nilly. And I really wanted to get willy-nilly thrown in the podcast at some point today, so I'm happy I got that. I was shocked at how crazy easy the ship combat missions were.
Yeah, they were a lot easier than I expected.
Yeah, so one thing I learned is in the combat missions, don't call for assistance.
Really?
Yeah. What's that? Well, because then you're using them. And you can't deploy them.
See, I thought when we went in with them, they got deployed, but I guess they don't.
But if you can choose not to go in with them. Because you can take them out of the bottom.
Right.
So if they're not, don't go into the battle with you, they're not deployed.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
So, I mean, I guess they get deployed either way, whether you take them with you or not. I just like to not deploy, do the combat missions with the least amount of characters possible, because then you can use those, instead of deploying them with the combat mission, you could throw them in platoons.
Right.
Which is more needed than backup, I don't know, Phoenix ship that you're not even going to use.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I was kind of interested in, and what are your thoughts on this, was that the platoon missions for ships in general, what did you think about those?
Horse shit. So the first one's fine. Phase 3 and phase 4, perfectly fine. Phase 5, phase 6, the two last ones, they're requiring ships we can't actually physically get unless we buy just a crap load of ship chromiums. Like, there's no way to farm TIE Reaper. There's no way to find, what's the other one? What is Short Trooper's ship?
Yep.
Yeah, whatever that ship.
Short Trooper ship is TIE Reaper, though.
Oh, it is TIE Reaper. What's Kylo's command shuttle? You can't farm, but they're requiring them.
This is something we've all been kind of crying about for a while now. Like, where are these ships? All the ships are getting released, and why aren't these ones getting released?
Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure, I didn't even look in Phase 6, but I'm pretty sure it required a Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
No one has Millennium Falcon. Like,
I think our last one required 7-star Gauntlet and a 7-star TIE Reaper.
Yeah, like, a 7-star Gauntlet I can even see, because that has been farmable to some degree. But and you can still get shards. But this one, unless you actually buy chromium ship packs, which no one in their right effing mind does.
Not for that much.
No. Will have that. So they're requiring ships that you can't get. Now, I will say this. If I was to tell someone new coming into the game, they're like, hey, we're just starting territory battles. What's the best thing to do? My answer would be work on ships, because that is the easiest thing to 3-star out of the whole phase.
Yep.
You can, I mean, with because it takes no coordination whatsoever. It really doesn't, because there's only one territory for ships in each phase. So once you do your combat mission, check to see if the platoons are needed. Mm-hmm. If not, just deploy. Like, just deploy them. So we 3-starred all of them except for the last phase, cakewalk style. And it took nothing. So if your guild wants more stars, work on ships more than the random other characters that might help you out a little bit here and there. Because you're going to get those extra stars rather quickly in ships.
Mm-hmm. I would say, though, I would work on a good Phoenix squad, because they have 2 or 3 uses outside of territory battles. Even in territory battles, I flew through a couple of these battles because I threw my gear 11 Phoenix squad in. They just went to town on them.
Yeah. I mean, well, they're even required in Phase 5 for one of the combat missions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can use them. If you get a good Phoenix squad and a good resistance team, I'm going to say this over and over again, a good resistance team and a good Phoenix squad, you will clear 2 combat missions in each phase, no problem. Am I wrong? Like, resistance in Phase 6, I didn't take any damage in my combat mission in Phase 6.
I still don't understand resistance, but I think maybe my Fens gear 8 and my resistance trooper is like 7-star gear 6.
Like, and I do mine a little different, but I basically, you just stun lock them all. So with R2 and with Finn, you have 2 pretty reliable stuns, and then you just keep reducing their turn meter with Poe. So they're constantly in stun. So then you just have a whole team of stun characters, and you're like, who do I kill first? So it's a cakewalk, but Phoenix is almost the same way. They still take damage, but they gain protection back. They counter, they got reses, they have all that stuff. The only thing I think they're missing is like a true AoE dispel.
Yeah, but that's a lot of teams these days, that AoE dispel. There's only 1 or 2 characters out there that can do it.
Yeah, but also, and I should have mentioned this when I was ranting about the ships that are required that we can't get, the characters required that we are unable to get equally pissed me off.
I had no issues with the characters. I think a lot of us have the ones they require this time, but what are some of the ones you're thinking of?
All right, so in Phase 5, we were required to have a bunch of Paploos and Logres.
Oh, that's right.
Which no one in their right mind has.
Well, I mean, especially for us Ewok haters like myself.
Well, even at 6 stars, who has them at 6 stars? Come on.
Maybe a handful, if that.
Yeah. But then it's all these crap. I've never known, like, if you came into territory battles and look at what's required from these platoons, you'll be like, you know who's the greatest characters in the game? Bodhi Rook, Pow, and Lobot. because they're required for everything.
Don't be dissing Pow now. I used him a couple times in my combat missions. He tore apart people.
Wait, you use Pow in combat missions? Why would you do that? He's needed for every platoon imaginable.
Because I have a very unique situation. So my guild leader, his time is Eastern. So all this stuff started at 6 a.m. Eastern time, right?
Yes.
Okay. 6 a.m. Eastern time is midnight for me.
Oh, yeah. No, you're not going to be up then.
No, especially when I work the next day. I'm asleep when that thing starts, and I wake up at 5:30, 5 o'clock, and that's already 11, 12 o'clock a.m. or p.m. for everyone on the East Coast. I'm like, well, everything's already pretty much done. I'm just going to toss a couple things in here and there. Okay, got my participation trophy. Yay!
Yeah. Well, good. All right, so it was basically done by the time you got there. That's fair enough. But yeah, like, there's tweaks that need to be done. And I think they're still working on the tweaks.
Yes.
Which is fine. I will say this, the one real positive thing, and I did not expect this, is the introduction of territory battles has gotten rid of the gear crunch. And I didn't think about this until it actually happened, but all that Rancor level gear, I'm talking stun cuffs, stun guns, those kind of things, you get enough currency from these territory battles, and they're so cheap in the shop that you could, I mean, with the winnings from one territory battle of 35, let's say you have 3,000 currency or whatever, you can get over a full stun cuff with that, plus other things. Like, I think I got 12 for, 280 currency.
That's not bad.
Like, I've been able to gear up toons way quicker now that I can do this.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel they also kind of address the gear crunch issue with territory battles, which is odd to me.
You see, I didn't really notice that because my rewards, all my tokens. Okay, I'm going to buy Hermit Yoda. And then at the same time, I was like, okay, I'm going to buy 10 of this, 10 of the gear 12 for the after you hit gear 12, the gear after that, those three slots. Start buying gear for there and there. And I'm working on either Tarkin or Death Troopers additional gear that grants health, steel, and potency.
Oh, nice. Yeah, see, I actually really, I actually saw on Reddit a lot of the people complaining about the gear you get or the rewards you get. And I think they just, I hate to say this because it sounds very conceited, but you need to get more stars. Because once we hit 35 stars or 31 stars, I mean, I got 5 pieces of gear. Not full, but I got salvage for 5 different pieces of gear, plus a crap load of currency, plus crystals.
Yeah, I think a lot of people weren't surprised that the possibility of fully crafted gear wasn't in there, but I think that'll come with as you kind of perfect and get the, 45, possibly more stars.
Yeah, I think once you hit 35, it greatly increases the chance of a fully crafted gear
I think you can get fully crafted gear, if I remember right, but it's just based on how many stars you get. I think you need a 40-plus range in order to get those fully crafted.
Yes, yeah. At 35, I think it greatly increases because you get the different tier box. But, I mean, to me, these are very good rewards. And what people aren't taking into account is they're like, well, we worked on it for 6 days and we got this. I'm like, well, it's not always going to be 6 days. Like, remember, they doubled the time.
Yeah, eventually it's just going to be 3 days.
Eventually it's going to be 3 days.
Only about 1 day longer than your raid.
Yeah, and then who knows how quickly they're going to relaunch this. Like, are they going to do it once a week, or are they going to do it twice a week? Don't know what their plan is.
I think the next one's Monday.
Yep, the next one starts on Monday, the 11th. And that is going to be 24 hours for each phase, because they're letting all of us work out the kinks, get everything.
Sink our teeth in and kind of just see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you, during all your combat missions, did you find a good kill order?
Not necessarily. I think the most scared I am is when I see those elite snowtrooper ops. Because when they go stealth and I start losing health, I'm like, oh boy, uh-oh. I don't like this.
Like, I was going after the floating bots.
Oh, the droids?
Yeah, because once they put, like, expose and ability block on you, and you're like, oh.
They might be good in your resistance team if they ever come out.
They would be, but they'd have to get the resistance tag, unlike people who are actually in the GD resistance that don't get the resistance tag. Not bitter.
Oh, the bitterness.
Yeah.
It
so,
never, ever ends.
I mean, I love this new phase. Like, it has revitalized my love for the game. Yes, it's complicated. Oh, yeah. It is very complicated. But everything's complicated when it first comes out. AAT was complicated when it first came out.
Well, you see, my attention's kind of split in, like, two ways right now. It's about to be split into a third. So, I'm like, uh-oh. So I've got half my attention on you know, Star Wars, and half my attention's on Destiny 2, which just released, and then my third one's going to be, come November, it's going to be all about Battlefront 2.
Let's not talk Destiny 2.
Okay.
I'm bitter, because for some reason in 2017, they can't release Destiny 2 on PC at the same time as consoles.
That's fine. Then we'll get away from Destiny 2 then. Sorry, right. Sorry I mentioned it.
Yeah. But, no, like, this game is just, it's, you're going to start seeing more and more crazy stuff. I think the next big update they do, though, is going to be quality of life improvements again.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a major address they need to make pretty soon.
Mm-hmm. So, we're going to give some tips here. Like, I want to get some of your tips. So, my first tip is, once you get Captain Han, is it Captain? Yeah. Captain Han to 5 stars. Stop and work on something else.
Yep.
That is my advice right now. Because unless you have a 7-star Rolo, you don't need Captain Han at 7 stars.
No, so he can take a back seat. You know, work on him in the background here. You know, I'd use your Cantina energy, your daily Cantina energy on him, but at the same time, it's just like, don't worry if you're not 7-star by the next territory battle. Don't worry about it. Because no one was going to have Rolo 7-star by next territory battle.
Yeah, heck, even farm somebody else that might be better. Like, farm, if you still need Hera or Ezra, farm them. That's probably better overall.
Yep, I'm excited right now because I got my second light side Zeta.
Oh, okay.
And it gave me another light side team now. So I can now run Jedi since I just zated Qui-Gon.
Okay.
As odd as it sounds. But it's opened me up. I'm like, okay, I'm going to start working on my Grandmaster Yoda, which for as long as I've been playing this game, I should have him completely maxed out. But he's only gear 7.
He's a cakewalk to gear.
Okay.
Like, you'll be surprised how easy he is.
I'm also working on Plo Koon because he's got a nice little basic ability.
Which I still don't remember because I think I have him unlocked on one of my accounts and I don't have him anything above that.
Here's the thing with Qui-Gon Speed. Deal physical damage to target enemy and dispel a random status effect on them. Is that the max? Yes. Dispel a random positive status effect on them with a 50% chance to dispel all positive status effects instead. If an effect is dispelled, Plo Koon gains defense up for 3 turns.
That's decent.
Yeah. And if he uses leader ability, which I wouldn't use anyway, so I'm not even going to get into that.
Yeah, no. You're not going to give up Qui-Gon Jinn's or Zodi for Plo Koon.
Nope. Not a bit.
So your advice is, you know, a Jedi team? Would you recommend a Jedi team?
I would just say, instead of focusing so much on Han, make sure you can get four or five, I would even say, just solid light side squads. Just get the gear up.
Yeah. Because in those later rounds, it kind of killed me, because as a lot of y'all know out there, is that I run a lot of dark side,
so my light side's a little weaker, and I don't have as much to play around with.
So you rock the deployment, just not the combat missions.
Oh, I kill the deployment. I always have about 1.5, 1.4 to deploy, so.
I hate you. yeah, so, I mean, I guess, yes, this is dominated by light side, but dark side does just as much work to some degree in territory battles. Because it takes all your dark side characters into deployment. Just like Coleman said, you want like four or five good teams.
Yeah, because especially those later phases when you start needing, requirements are more needed here, and, oh god, I gotta use my Commander Luke here so I can't use him there, and then, okay, there go my Rogue Ones, there goes my Phoenix Squad, I still have three or four more other combat missions I have to go fight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, Rogue One team is a good team to get, especially if you can throw a Zeta on Jyn or so. That's gonna do wonders. I'm just trying to think of exactly what her... I just got her to gear 11, 2 hours ago, but I think she's gonna be my next Zeta, is her leadership ability. So Rebel allies get 35% potency, recover 5% protection whenever they gain a buff. Enemies that suffer debuffs during Rebel allies' turns have a 50% chance to also become exposed for 2 turns.
Mm-hmm.
And the expose can't be resisted. So they're going to be gaining protection up the whole time. They're going to be... I mean, you throw Jyn with Chaze and Beirut... Baze and Chirrut, or Beirut. And then K2SO and Cassian. I mean, you're going to be swimming in protection.
Right, especially if you have that Cassian Zeta.
Yeah. So, I guess the big thing is just work on getting whole teams, not on individual characters.
Yeah.
Finish out teams before you finish out one individual characters, because you'll benefit more.
Yeah, if you have a 4-man squad and you're just throwing a random one in there, I would work on probably just finish off that team. Whatever team you have a majority of, just finish off that team.
Mm-hmm.
But I did find that Hoth Rebel Soldier, he's kind of universal in a lot of these Rebel teams.
Yeah. Yeah, since you have to gear him up anyway, you might as well.
Yeah. He peeled me out of a few situations. I was like, oh, wow, he's actually kind of useful now.
Yeah, I mean, a Commander Luke team is pretty... I've found that, a Commander Luke with Radahn and... Ezra.
Mm-hmm.
I use Ezra in Commander Luke team instead of my Phoenix team. My Phoenix team, I just use the other five. They do some pretty nasty damage.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they do, especially with Chopper and Zeb. You gain all that health and protection back up every time you move.
Yeah, but with Commander Luke, you basically get Commander Luke, Han Solo, and Ezra, and they all counter and hit like trucks.
Oh yeah. If only Ezra's unique was able to be passed around to Luke and Han.
That would be nice. Wishful thinking.
Yeah, it's wishful thinking, right?
So, I don't know. Do you have any more tips or tricks or stuff that you've learned about territory battles?
Not too much. It was pretty straightforward from what we learned from the guides, what we did last week.
Yeah.
As far as how to deploy and everything.
Yeah, it's the simple things of make sure if you're running a guild and you're having difficulties working things out, put 1 to 2 people in charge of giving out orders every morning.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it.
And have people check in before they do anything instead of territory battles, because it can just screw up everything.
Yeah, do not deploy right away.
Yeah, check.
Do your combat missions in platoons, then wait for everyone to get done with them, and then work on deployments, but then follow what your leaders tell you to do. Because you could waste a lot of galactic power that way.
Yep. Always check in before you go do anything inside these territory battles.
Yeah, because every little bit counts. There's so much min-maxing.
Yeah.
From a leader's perspective. But once they figure it out, they just be like, all right, you five attack here, you five attack here, we're good. And it's just as simple as that.
Yeah, the only reason we did so well, I think, is because we had everyone checking in, you know, okay, deploying here, deploy there, and they actually did it. And that's all in part thanks to Realm Force Yavin 4's Trevor. You know, he was our general, so big round of applause to him. He did a fantastic job on how he managed territory battles.
Yeah, I mean, we had the same thing. Our generals were ridiculous. And in Endor, and they did a great job. And honestly, if I was one other recommendation I have for any guild out there that is doing this, get Discord. Yes, if you do not have Discord, you're going to suffer. Plain and simple.
Yep, you are really going to suffer.
Because, it was Stover, Delft, and ours, who was our general. If we didn't have Discord, we wouldn't have done half as good. Because he was able to go tag everyone, tell everyone what the mission plan was, let everyone know in Discord. That way you know they get it. Not everyone gets it in-game.
Yep, and that way all the leaders can stay connected as well, too, is that, okay, it's not just always one general who might be here at this time, who might miss a few things. Like, if someone's there, he's not there. The leaders and officers can come in and say, hey, this is what you need to do. You know, he'll be back in a minute.
Yeah. I also recommend creating a separate channel just for orders. Because otherwise it can get lost in the shuffle.
Oh, that channel just explodes during territory battles.
Exactly. So, get two channels in Discord. One for your regular talk and one for just deployment orders. So, but to each their own, but you still use Discord. Other than that, I think we've rambled on enough about territory battles.
Yeah. Really?
I can't think of anything else that we missed. I mean, I'm sure we did miss things.
Oh, I know we missed things.
You know, and obviously check Reddit, check online. There's so many, I'm looking at maps right now of the territory battles. And they're so useful. Because they tell you what platoons help out where, so on and so forth.
I will, since you mentioned platoons, I will say this. They do play a factor. If you don't three out of three of those things, they will murder you. If you haven't completed that platoon mission when you go to combat.
Yes, they
because
will.
I found that I was like, okay, yeah, platoons don't really matter. I was like, okay, 3 for 3, I can still do this. Then I was just like, wow, that thing's going off a lot. I can't do anything. They keep ability blocking me and everything else. I'm like, ah.
I have a semi-embarrassing thing to admit. And that is, I did not realize where the button was to help me from those until phase 4.
Oh, okay.
So it didn't affect me. I did not get through all my waves. But everyone's like, oh, yeah, I used this in the wave 5. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? And then, then I'm like, oh, there it is. I do not feel smart.
No, that is not my brightest. I'm surprised. I'm proud of you though. You came out and admitted it. So.
Hey, because if I would have found this out in phase 6, after I didn't finish for waves in 5 or whatever, then I would have hit it.
You would have been like, I'm just done here. I'm like, I should just go home right now. Pack it in.
Yep. So, but I think that should do it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think of anything else that we should really talk about in this episode.
No, I think we've got it all hit. I mean, until next week, I guess, you know, when we have another territory battle. Well, actually, we'll probably be halfway through a territory battle for next week's show.
Yeah, we'll be in either phase 5 or 6 by the time we get that. Maybe 4.
Maybe 4. I don't know.
I'm not working that math out right now.
No. So, well, thank you all for joining us for another wonderful Star Wars: A Galaxy of Han Solo podcast from Rebel Force Alliance. If you have any questions or would like us to answer, please email us at rebelforcealliancepodcast.com or on our Twitter page at RFApodcast. Always iTunes reviews, much appreciated. And until next time, pray for that fifth Han Solo.
Yeah, I cannot wait to see that fifth Han Solo.
Have a good one.